Robots attack. Movies. TV. Video games. Comic books. Tech stuff. News. Music. But it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at robotsattackme, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me is
Jason
and
Caleb.
That's right. We're all here to rock your world. So, gentlemen, how have you been?
Let's see. I've basically been messing around with the same old video games. Did a little bit of Call of Duty because somebody had a copy loaned to him, and and so that was a lot of fun, getting to try out some stuff with different people and whatnot, and went back to try and get my Gunzerker character in Borderlands 2 up to level 50, and I managed to only level him one level, so...
Yeah.
It's easy to get distracted, and it's tough to level at the high levels. So
yeah.
Getting to 50 seems like it'd be a bit of a challenge, to put it mildly.
But it was much fun, all the same. And in the one level that I got, I managed to get. I did like a really weird thing this time and crossed the different trees, so that I'm doing like half and half instead of just going straight for completely awesome end of the line slot. And so for the first time I have two of the like middle abilities, and that's been pretty cool for the first time, being able to actually Gunzerk while I'm down and whatnot, and punch nice. People and have them go flying is kind of nice too.
Not too shabby,
right?
From such a little guy.
Right. And I'm aiming to get the third like center ability on him also. And that would be my perfect trifecta. I like the final abilities for him, but I think I like the mid abilities a little bit better
better.
Weird sort of way.
Cool.
To quote him, that would be awesome.
Right.
So my week was pretty good.
I don't believe it.
Wife
one.
Came back from Hawaii, and that was very nice.
Okay.
She had a good time with her mom.
I'll give you that one, I guess.
Yeah. Let's see.
But still, you have to prove more. Come on. Throw some good stuff at me.
I also got to play a fair amount of Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Wait, what? You too?
Yeah.
Wow. So weird.
I know.
Crazy. It's like someone very generously loaned me their copy that might be sitting over in the primary seat of this little studio. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. Got to practice and play with new kits, and actually for one of the weekend matches I pulled an even one on the KD, which I was pretty pleased
very
with.
Very nice.
Yeah.
You're working your way up, and mm-hmm. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I broke even. Yeah, it was.
I'm sure there's better ways to say that to make it sound like more impressive, but we'll work on that over the course of the show.
Yeah, it doesn't sound as impressive as it actually feels like it is, if that makes any sense.
Right.
it's much more of an achievement when you do it than when you're. Yeah. Anyway, it was a match on the hijacked yacht.
Oh, okay.
There was
Do you have a favorite map? I'm going to interrupt you.
I think my favorite map is actually the...
Do you have a favorite gun? I'm going to interrupt you again. Do you like the favorite map and the favorite gun together?
Actually, they worked together really nicely. It was the MP7 and The hijacked yacht one. I can't remember if it's actually called hijacked or not. I think it is. But
I believe so. I can't remember. Right, I stopped memorizing the names for the maps so long ago when they became like really easy to tell apart, you know?
Yeah, that one's pretty easy. It's on a yacht.
Right. Yeah. It's the yachty one.
Yada yada. It's a that one was fun. Like the MP7, for whatever reason, like the way I play, it's very good for the, oh shoot, there is somebody. Oh, right. Hey, they went down. Awesome. Okay, so move on to the...
He said shoot, ladies and gentlemen, just to clarify, in case you're out there like, did he just say,
he doesn't say other things in general.
I'm just saying, the audience doesn't know Caleb.
I'm saying
not
that
everyone knows Caleb like we do.
I'm trying to inform the audience.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. For one match, there was a group of people from the other team that would be stalking the engine room of the yacht.
What, really? I haven't actually ever seen that.
Yeah, there was like three of them that were just totally stalking that place, and they would do it with knives. No. So they just run around knifing everybody that they could.
But I've been lamenting how nobody ever uses the engine room of that map at all for like since it came out, and it's nice to run across and get from one side of the ship to the other, but the problem is people get wiped out so fast in that level that by the time you get over there, their spawning point is where you just came from.
The only time it really comes into play is if you're playing like I think it's like hard point, like wherever the ones where like that section gets highlighted and you have to go there. Otherwise, yeah, it doesn't seem like anyone uses the below decks.
Yeah, that was like the on this one team was like the one time I ever actually played, like had people like down there that wasn't like, oh, there's one other person out here besides me. Awesome. It was like three people that would like consistently go through that area.
Okay.
Stalking it with knives. I was like, huh, interesting.
Well, I'm already jealous of your experience. So there's that.
Nice. Yeah.
And that took it easy and all that good stuff. How about you, Joe?
It was fine. Nothing terribly exciting. But back to your wife coming back from Hawaii.
Yes.
So everything went smoothly.
Yes.
Weather was nice.
Didn't get sick off of falafels or nothing like that.
No, nothing like that. They had lots
That's good.
Yes.
I don't know why I brought that up.
Yeah, lots of excellent food, lots of excellent weather. And they actually went on her birthday. They went out to on a dolphin viewing trip. There's a pod of spinner dolphins that like to hang out over by Lanai, which is one of the eight major islands of Hawaii.
Okay.
Is there another name for the spinner dolphin, or is it a third type of dolphin that I have not heard of?
It might be a third type of dolphin you haven't heard of, because there's quite a few of them.
Wow. I didn't know there were a lot of them. Even like back in the day when I was into all the animal books and whatnot, there were always only two that they'd show in the animal books.
Yeah, the bottlenose and what was the...
I think like Coke Classic version or something like that. I forget what that one was, but it was like your...
Standard dolphin.
Right, cover of every picture without the bottlenose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now these are spinners. They...
They spin?
Yes. When they do the, like, you know, dolphins are known for jumping out of the water. When they jump, they actually do like a barrel roll rotation.
Wow. Nice.
It's really cool. The
aptly named.
Yes. Elaine was saying that they have been known to do it up to seven times in a single jump.
What?
Nice.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
They have the,
now you're just making poop up.
In the video that she took of them out there, she caught a couple in video that did like three as corkscrews as they jumped. I was like, whoa, that was
okay,
cool.
Three I can believe, especially since it was captured on film apparently.
Video footage can still be doctored. But.
It's true. I'll prove it right now with my phone. I'll have a picture of Caleb spinning seven times.
Well, here's something that doesn't need to be doctored. Don't need to have Caleb spinning seven times.
Okay.
It's totally easy.
What's that?
It's if you want to listen to KSU, even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at ksu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound.
Right on. Okay.
And I think on that note... Let's jump into the show. We got a great show for everybody. Our core topic tonight is going to be the August, the films that we watched through August.
Right, which we sort of did a crash course of the other day.
Yeah, so we'll have a few of those to talk about. No game discussion tonight because I think the...
there wasn't much anyway.
Yeah, so. And the main topic took most of our time and probably will take most of our time again. But it's been a while. We've got...
Caleb's Corner.
That's right. It's back.
It's back again.
We'll have that.
Stand in that corner.
Stay over there.
Hey.
You have to shout.
Interestingly, I mean, but still.
True. Dance. We do some modern dance and stuff.
Right.
And, of course, the news that we'll bring to you. Maybe we'll have Caleb make that noise while... we read off the news.
I think that would be cool.
I'm sure he can hardly wait to do that.
I am salivating.
It would oddly go fairly well with the robot story. So,
Okay. Well, right on. Remember to bring that up. But before all of that stuff, we're going to hit the new releases and, of course, the top five box office over the weekend. So here we go. Holding in at number one again.
What?
Lee Daniels, The Butler.
Okay. Hey.
And cool. Holding in at number two. We're the Millers.
Mm-hmm.
Just won't break number two.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. But now...
Bit of a disseparation between the two films there.
Yeah. You know, you got some serious, and then when you want to just, like, laugh or something, I guess.
It's true.
Right.
Then
different, different event types. Yeah.
Exactly. And then number three, we've got brand new one, Mortal Instruments, City of Bones.
Okay.
And then number four, another new one, The World's End.
Okay.
Which we might hint be talking about.
Maybe.
In the topic for tonight, the core. And
although I feel like we should have brought beer or something.
It's true. It does make you want to have beer. But and then number five, Planes. Staying in there.
Wait,
wow.
What?
Holding it in actually there. Broke yeah. top 10. Wow.
It's holding in there. It's
wow. Yeah.
That's kind of surprising.
The little kiddies love Dane Cook. As plane form.
I was going to say. As a plane? Okay.
All right. If you don't want to go see those, you want to say you want to go see something brand new.
Right.
Well, here's what's coming out in the theater this Friday.
Okay, I'm concentrating.
Okay? Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, this one right here comes out on Wednesday. It's called The Closed Circuit.
Okay.
It's got Eric Bana in it. So if you like Eric Bana... there you go.
I am indifferent about him.
Now, Friday, we've got Afternoon Delight. We've got American-Made Movie.
Huh.
We've got Empire State. We've got Getaway, which we saw a trailer for. The Ethan Hawke, Selena Gomez car one.
I wasn't paying attention to the name of the movie.
For some reason.
What are you implying? Just because I have a crush on Ethan Hawke, man.
I'm just saying.
Be dreamy. And I know you're excited for this one, Caleb.
Hmm.
And it's understandable. You've got One Direction, : This Is Us, in both non-3D and in 3D form.
What?
Gotta catch 'em all.
And say, after you wet your palate with One Direction, you can go and see Our Nixon.
All right. Or as opposed to their Nixon?
Yeah. And if that doesn't excite you, then maybe this last film I'll mention. Passion.
That
dude.
That seems quite passionate, you'd think, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it has Rachel McAdams and Noomi Rapace in it.
Oh, okay.
So
that's not too bad.
So there you go. There's some flicks coming out on Friday. And one on Wednesday.
I'm all for more new me.
Alrighty. If you're actually looking to expand your DVD and Blu-ray collection, these might be interesting to you. This is a movie called At Any Price. About the competitive world of agriculture.
Huh, okay.
Yeah.
Didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, it caught me by surprise too. That's why I kind of threw it in like, huh. That's interesting.
Okay.
Captain Battle, Legacy War.
Whoa.
That sounds epic.
When you see the cover, it'll feel like a flashback to something that you've seen that was probably better than this.
Oh, okay.
Elementary Season 1 is out on DVD. The Great Gatsby, the new one, is out on Blu-ray and DVD.
The newbie.
Mm-hmm.
The noobs. I don't want to even try.
Okay. Kon-Tiki is out on Blu-ray and DVD. This one actually looked really interesting because it's about a Norwegian researcher who wanted to set out to prove that pre-Columbian civilization people could have traveled to the Polynesian Islands to settle there.
Huh. Wow.
Back in, the, anyway, 1947.
That's a big collection of places all about in a thing.
Yeah, then there's Pain and Gain on Blu-ray and DVD. Sapphire and Steel, the complete series.
That's
on
Pain and
DVD.
Gain 2, for anybody who doesn't know.
No, it's not. It's a, a cult classic British sci-fi series. And rounding it out
I'm sorry, I got it backwards. It was Pain and Gain was equal to that, right?
No.
No, okay.
Pain and Gain stands on its own.
Man, I was so sure of myself on that one.
It stands on its own two Michael Bay legs. then there's Stranded on Blu-ray and DVD as well. This one featuring Christian Slater.
Okay.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, moving over to the realm of video games. We have Final Fantasy XIV Online, A Realm Reborn. Then we have, sort of completely out of nowhere, kind of, like I knew this was coming out. I thought it was actually coming out a little bit later, but surprise, surprise, Lost Planet 3.
Oh, hey. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they snuck that one in there.
Yeah. We have Castlevania Lords of Shadows Ultimate Edition.
Okay.
You've got your personal favorite, Jason, Madden NFL 25.
Ooh.
We've got Killer is Dead. We've got the last of the Summer of Arcade.
Oh, okay.
Which, can you take a guess of what this one might be?
I do believe it's the TMNT game.
Correct. Yeah. Out of the Shadows.
Yeah. And with chins.
We'll just ignore that fact.
We've got Pokemon Rumble U.
Oh, okay.
We've got Sweet...
Rumble me?
No, you.
There's no Rumble me Roses in it. You?
Maybe you. Anyways, continue.
Sweet Fuse at your side. Memoria. Shelter. Painkiller, Hell, and Damnation.
Wow, okay.
That's
a lot.
The very last. This is a little sad, but also exciting for what it means soon.
Uh-huh.
The very last map pack for Black Ops 2 titled Apocalypse.
Apocalypse.
And the very last one that I will mention,
mm-hmm.
Shadowplay : Journey to Wonderland.
Huh.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Very good then. From video games, we leap over to the bright, shiny world of comic books. And if you want to
quick say something dark.
Batman.
Okay, there you go.
Good
save.
Thank you. The
I was born in the darkness.
Your punishment must be more severe.
Anyways, so the if you want to, these are something you might want to add to your poll list this week.
Okay.
Batman Incorporated Special Number 1.
Whoa, we just the yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then there's Justice League Number 23.
With or without Batman.
Batman is included because he's part of the Justice League.
Of course I'll be there.
is that your voice?
I don't know. I mean, he has to be like not in it sometimes, right? I mean,
I'm like Wolverine.
Wolverine is sometimes not in a comic book, right?
I swear to you.
Not for
I'll
the last
there.
8 years.
Swear to my blades. Swear to me.
Anyway.
I'm in everyone.
Over on the Marvel side of the equation is Uncanny Avengers number 11.
Okay.
And Uncanny X-Men number 11.
No.
Yes, you can do that twice.
Now.
Now.
Oh, yeah. Now. Okay.
And I'm changing the station now.
No, we're done. We're done with that.
We promise. Keep paying attention to us.
If you are not, if you're more of an indie fan or not a fan of the big
two, I don't like any of this mainstream stuff that you've been talking about.
You might also try Itty Bitty Hellboy number one from Dark Horse Comics.
Wait, what?
Yes. Yes.
Is it like a Jiba or
yeah,
Chibi
it's kind of a
okay, that is adorably awesome.
Imagine sort of like the Teen Titans Go kind of idea.
Okay.
But
okay.
With Hellboy, and it's kind of brilliant. Then there's
I can't stop looking at. Why do you scroll away?
Cuz I need to read the rest of these. Okay. My Little Pony Friendship is Magic number 10.
Yeah.
Morning Glory.
Does Hellboy ride one of the My Little Ponies?
Right. Although that would be a good crossover.
The horse people riding the horse, not what you might have been thinking in your minds. Horse on the back.
Okay.
Riding the horse.
Okay, I got you now.
Just to clarify, in case someone's out there, like, did he just say
inappropriate?
Yeah. No.
Not inappropriate. Right,
no.
And not actually a crossover, it just exists yeah. in some weird alternate dimension. Then there is Overtaken number 1, which is part of the Aspen universe. So there you go.
Okay. Nice. Cool. All right. Well,
and a random picture of Neil Gaiman.
What? No, it's the cover of Not So Anonymous number 1.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Neil Gaiman. I don't really sound like this.
All I saw was like in giant
hello.
Capital letters, Neil Gaiman.
Number one.
Right.
I'm here. It's just a comic about him.
The first Neil Gaiman right here. Hey.
Right here.
Nothing but self-portrait.
Just walking around, drawing and
little
getting coffee. And this is kind of boring.
Right. Like, he got into the little like self-memeing thing. He like snaps a picture and writes a little quote. Like, that sounds like something I would say. I don't know if that's what he sounds like.
Yeah, I don't think either of us have an idea. We just pretend to.
Yeah, I'm going to round this out with a recommendation that isn't on any of the lists, just for fun.
All right.
Mouse Guard. I've recently been able to read the first trade from Nalunda to me, and it is excellent.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It's a simple story, but it's really well put together. And
yeah.
The artwork, like it's
really
nice.
Cool.
It's a nice mix of good things.
I am casting my eyes about in amazement that I have no clue what you guys are talking about.
We'll enlighten you later. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
went to the panel for it this past at Comic-Con.
Oh, nice.
And it's cool.
Okay.
Yeah. He gave out a piece of art, you know.
Ooh.
Like, for everybody. And then,
wow.
Okay.
You know.
Actually, I think I remember that from like Free Comics Day like 3 years ago.
Yes. There was a couple of those in there.
Okay. Yeah, I like the artwork in it.
Mm-hmm. And the story's really good, too. The characters are especially well-developed for being mice. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, if you like...
Sort of a throwback to Watership Down in a weird sort of way, or...
In a way. But
there's another series, like... What is it? Is it like Red Guard or Red... There's another like book series of novels that are like,
oh, Redwall, is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah, maybe it's that. It's it's I mean, and so the audience isn't like, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
It's like, imagine like knights, but instead of them being humans, they're mice.
Yes.
And
okay.
Like animals basically taking, I know there's like a word for that.
Anthropomorphic.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay,
but they're more like actual mice as
opposed
to...
Yeah, they're more they're more like actual mice.
Thank you
mice.
For doing that, because I had less happy feelings about it after hearing that.
When it's anthropomorphic, it's more the strictest sense of anthropomorphic, where they have the attributes of
humans
attached to them, but they're still
but
mice.
But they're still, still more,
Not that there's anything wrong with anthropomorphic otherwise.
It's just, it's different
than... do your thing.
It's just, it's not that, not
it's different
that
than what Jason is
thinking
it's
about.
It's just not my bag.
That I shall not mention. Mm-hmm. But here's something that I will mention that
what
does relate to animals. The San Jose Animal Advocates. So this
how
is
did
perfect.
I know that
there
was coming up?
It's like you've been on this show. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer. Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
I think they should count the animals, though, just for records.
Count them?
Because well, they were saying save countless. Just think it would be good to know.
All right, so in the show, we're going to have a great show, as I mentioned. And, we're going to take a music break, though, because, you know, we've talked for a little bit. And we need a chance to gather ourselves, and you need a chance to gather yourselves to be ready
for... Slash beat me for misbehaving.
No. Get ready for the news that we're about to bring you. So let's get to that music break. I'm going to play a local artist named Ash Reiter. The song is Treasure Island from the album Ola. All right, you're listening to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. And just as the bumper indicated, we are in the news. And like all the news segments we've done in the past, present, and future, we like it when you participate on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You're probably asking yourself, well, how can I do that? Well, Caleb's got the answer for you.
I was just thinking that.
That's right. If you wish to participate, and we really like it when you do, you can find us on Facebook. You can do a search for Robots Attack, two words. Or you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is RobotsAttackMe. Or you can hit us up on email, RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. And finally, if you're just like, wait, oh, it's a lot of things to remember all at once, just remember, RobotsAttack.me. It's got a fresh coat of paint on it, so to speak. And there's the button on there that says Interact. Press that. It has links to all the things I mentioned before. Facebook, Twitter, and email.
It's got a fresh coat of button on it, too.
Mm-hmm. And you can listen to archived episodes of our show there as well. But really, the most important part there is interact. Because we will be checking Facebook and Twitter throughout the show. And we would love it when you interact with us more.
We do.
All right. Let's give him some news.
Okay. Following our entire discourse about anthropomorphic things. I don't know how many of you out there have been waiting for a car that is more anthropomorphic, but...
Oh, I know I have.
Okay.
That's golly!
Good. That's good. It helps me with the story. The fine people at the Korean Advanced Institute of Science and Technology, they figured out an interesting twist on the compact car by kind of crossing a compact car with an armadillo.
Okay.
Hmm. And, I know it probably sounds weird. It doesn't have like tons and tons of segments. It really only has one segment, but it allows the car to do something really neat. It's normally a really small car to begin with at, let's see, I think it was just over 3 meters long or 2.8 meters long, but it literally folds in half. Whoa. Along the center line of the car, like an armadillo does.
Uh-huh.
Well, not quite like, but you know what I mean, people. To be just 1.65 meters in length. So basically you can pull it in and flip it in half, and I'm pretty sure it would take up like a normal half car space by doing that.
Okay.
So yeah, if you have a bunch of parallel parking to do, you can just completely nix that, drive straight in, flip your car over. The cool thing about it is like that it takes...
Table?
Well, I couldn't tell by the article whether it was actually man-powered, the flipping part of it, or if the car does it itself. I'd assume the car does it itself since it usually cars have power.
True. Typically. typically.
But anyway, the other neat thing about it is that it's also, like an armadillo, a security measure.
Because you can't get into it and it's folded in half.
Right. The entire back end flips over it and forms a shell over the car and just leaves the wheels effectively exposed. Which, I mean, I guess you could always just jack the wheels, but I assume they have special locky wheels on them or something like that.
Looks like it.
But still, a pretty interesting car. It looks like one of the main masterminds of it was Professor Insusa.
There you go. Very cool.
Hopefully I pronounced that right.
We try.
Yeah, right. We do our best.
We do our best.
I think I usually come pretty close with Korean names and Japanese names. It's any other, like, language that I have problems with. Even English.
English is such a mishmash of languages. It's no wonder that it's difficult at times.
I should say especially English.
All right, so from cars that protect themselves to breaking a speed barrier, so to speak. A player has bested a game record in Tetris by clearing 40 lines in roughly 20 seconds.
I saw a video of that. It was crazy.
It is nutty. Like this, watching the person like build the column and then just like annihilate it like in so fast. It's like what?
It's like watching the computer do it. You know?
yeah. You swear it was a computer doing it, but it's not. It's a human player going. But well, maybe not.
He has
doing
computer
that.
Fingers, doesn't he?
Probably. he has one of those USB ports on the back of his head. Just plugs in, click.
Man. Something at least like he's that. Not in the Matrix. I mean, that would be
unfortunate.
Right. He's able to still do fun things like be a computer on Tetris.
There you go. So, Joe, do you have one for us? Let's see.
Going from that video game story to this video game story, Microsoft points become real currency today.
The age
of the dollar begins at long last. Microsoft finally switched from Microsoft points to real currency today. Switch is happening in all Xbox Live regions and will automatically convert any existing balance or newly entered points card into your local currency. The Xbox Live Marketplace now lists all price in local currency instead of points as well, and Microsoft reports on its official site that all points converted to currency will be valid until June 1st, 2015. But the currency you purchase and add to your account after the transition will not expire. There's a video in the stories link that will give you a quick little walkthrough. And how you can get to that, of course, is on our Facebook page and Twitter and all that. We post the links to our stories, so you can check it out there if you so desire.
And a fun fact kind of based on that, well, hopefully it's fun. They also closed down the Windows-based store that utilizes Microsoft points at the same time. So all of the Windows stuff, they encouraged people to cash out their points because it was no longer going to exist.
Yeah, there you go.
For me, the smart thing would be just dump them into currency on Xbox, but I don't know why. Anyway, my next story, since I have done a myriad of stories about drones, is kind of an interesting little twist on the drone story. It's the human side of the drone story.
Oh, interesting.
So, initially I'd heard that it was kind of a big push to get the drone jobs, because of course it's a lot safer and whatnot, and it ends up being a fairly technical thing, so you get kind of points for higher education and whatnot like that.
Right.
Well, apparently the Air Force is having huge problems getting people to pilot the things because they're quickly finding out that it's kind of a dead-end job.
Oh, no.
Right. The unfortunate thing about it is that usually people end up getting higher ranks and so on through accruing different honors. And since the one honor that was attributed to the drone program was axed by the Pentagon last week, there's basically no way for people to advance in the drone program other than to become, like, the master of the drone program, which apparently those slots are already filled. So yeah, it ends up creating some interesting questions, though, because effectively the one honor that was given to the drone pilots was axed because, well, you're not really putting your life on the line for anything. And so the question becomes, well, how do you honor somebody who isn't doing something above and beyond, quote unquote? So it'll be interesting to see if they figure out better ways of dealing with that situation or if it'll continue to be a problem. Because right now it's snowballing in on itself because it has so many fewer pilots doing the drones that it ends up creating even heavier hours, which ends up giving the drone pilots less time to train up, which would be the other way for them to level up, so to speak, as well. So it's kind of killing itself from the inside, unfortunately, at this moment, which I hope changes.
Yeah, that's interesting. Both fascinating and a little sad all at the same time.
Right. Maybe. I guess it depends on your view of drones in general, but
yeah.
I think it's sad, personally.
Maybe they'll give them some Microsoft points.
Yeah, right. Microsoft will kick them in.
Now, remember, everybody, if you're just tuning in and you're like, where am I? What's going on? Never fear. You're in the right place. You're listening to Robots Attack.
Happy place.
Exactly. You're listening to Robots Attack, one of the geek-centric talk show here on KACU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. Bam, got the station ID in.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Nicely done. Alrighty. I have going from drones, which are sort of the workforce of the future, the military force of the future, to engines that are the future.
Okay.
And we've all seen the warp drive in Star Trek.
I've never seen it.
Oh,
I always close my eyes.
Yeah.
I can't look.
It's kind of scary.
It's too much for me.
Well, there is research being done that could potentially create a warp drive.
Okay.
The goal of this project is to create an engine that will do what they call quantum thrust,
which is Do you find solace in this? I'm sorry.
No.
Okay.
This is still very early stages of the research on this project, but it's relatively sound. The idea is
Anything quantum like relatively sound though? I mean, maybe they've established the theories, but getting them to actually work for people, that's been the difficult part.
Well, we have quantum entanglement, which is where you affect one a proton over here and it affects the proton over on the far side somewhere else, relatively speaking.
You attach them with yarn.
that'd be a very, very, very small yarn, but that's a different story. That isn't covered in any of this. But
Kirby. I'm sorry.
Anyway, the idea is that these thrusters will compress space in front of them, and then by making
suck it along.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they create a vacuum in front of the ship by compressing the space and then expanding space behind it. So that creates a thrust effect, and you end up with something that they're hoping possibly lead to a faster than light travel without actually breaking the laws of physics.
Okay.
And because
it would create its own gravity well? Is that what you mean? Or
it doesn't really affect gravity. It's affecting the quantum vibrations and what it's stirring up. It's like, imagine like how submarine moves through the water. It has like the turbine that pushes it and by pulling the water across itself.
Right, like a jet engine.
Yeah. It's doing something similar, but on the quantum scale and with very exotic with exotic materials and electricity.
Okay.
It creates this.
All you had to do was say exotic materials and you got me.
Yeah. So it creates a sort of a gap in front of it, and that has to go somewhere. So it's okay. It moves into that space, and then as it does, it projects the space out behind it faster.
Okay.
And it's all doing it quantumly, which kind of defies all the laws anyway. So
it's sort of this is very much on the bleeding edge of science, as space science as we know it. And it's still at this point mostly theoretical, but they've been doing preliminary experimentation, and it looks promising that they might be able to start working on something that would resemble this. But this is like kind of the grand goal for what they're going for.
That's it. I'm just going to dub it the warp drive. I mean, it's warping space. So warp drive, it's appropriate.
Yeah.
We're going for it. I'm going to call NASA right now.
I mean, really, it's
no, wait, I'm calling NASA.
It's like jazz. You can't really explain
the
it.
The robot?
It just is.
Oh, okay.
You know?
That is true, and that's deep.
Yeah. Oh,
man.
I know.
Is it the same with bluegrass, or...
I don't really want to go there. I don't feel...
That's fair enough.
The thing that it also reminded me of was Mass Effect, when they described Element Zero, the stuff that...
Ezo, for people in the know.
Whoa, right. Wow.
I know.
Wow.
I drop the terminology like heavy objects from fragile hands.
Because like in the game, the theory of it is that it compresses space in front of the ship, making it go fast, it approach the speed of light without actually breaking the laws of physics.
Okay.
And then they had the...
I always just assumed it was a big gun, basically, but...
Well, they have those for jumping from gate to gate for, like, you know, the hypervelocity travel across the solar system, but...
Oh, man.
What have we done? Across the galaxy, but,
or
like,
the solar system, right. For those in the know.
But, like, it just reminded me of that, because, like, this would create a redshift in front of whatever object is being pushed by this thruster, and a blue shift behind it, because that's how those things work. So I just thought it was really neat. Anyways, and you can take your requisite Mass Effect sip now.
That's true.
Blue sip by itself is one of my favorite Mass Effect quotes. Anyways,
there you go.
So go on.
Oh, I will
entertain me with more. I say.
I will. The damn thing will open. Okay. Well, from that gigantic wad of science to this totally not gigantic wad of science.
Okay.
A driver says he was speeding so he could drive his car. All right.
It's sound. It is scientifically sound.
Maybe.
I mean, he had drive how fast?
Let's find out. This happened in Black Diamond, Alberta. He was drying off his freshly washed car. That's what the Canadian man told the Mounties when they stopped him doing 112 miles per hour.
Oh, miles? They do miles up there?
They had it converted in this story, since for those who don't want miles per hour, it's 180 kilometers per hour.
Okay. That sounds more impressive somehow.
There you go.
He's going south on Highway 22. 67 years old, lives in the area.
Okay.
The Royal Canadian Mounted Police said that the judge fined the man $800 and suspended him from driving for 45 days.
Man, that's a lot of money in 67-year-old money.
It's true. This story was back in June. So, he's back on the streets, probably, drying the car.
That's cool. I mean, it totally seems like one of those things, just an old man, like, I don't really feel like obeying the law today. I mean, why not?
What are they going to do?
Right. Imprison me?
I need to get to the, whatever the Canadian version of Matlock is.
Right. We need somebody to tell us that.
There you go.
Quickly, myriad of listeners, tell us. And it'll probably just be Matlock.
Yeah, we get episodes of that up there.
Okay. we're going to go from incredibly fast driving to incredibly slow flying. That works, right?
Sure.
Okay. I don't know if people are familiar with, the famous old aircraft, the U-2, but mm-hmm. It was a spy satellite that...
Not the band.
No.
Okay.
No, the band, I believe, was named after the spy plane. I'm not sure. I think the spy plane might have been jealous and thought, like, okay, they're a cool band, it's a cool name. I'm taking that.
Taking it.
Mm. But I'm prepared for the possibility that it was the other way around. Well, anyway, the entire idea of it was that it flies really, really high. It has really big wings, so it can just kind of loiter about without actually going into space and being a satellite sort of object. But it was so high that it could loiter and fly really, really slow because the air doesn't have the same effect up because gravity starts thinning also. And the added bonus was that in general, it was unable to be hit by Russian missiles. I do say in general because there were some instances where they unfortunately did not live up to that ability. But anyway,
you build a plane that flies higher, they build a missile that goes higher.
Yeah. That's what people
like
do.
The laws of missile averages
right.
and stuff, right?
Yes.
It's in the encyclopedia, the law of missile averages. Look it up. Anyway, the good people, I hope they're good people, the possibly good people at Titan Aerospace, they've been working on giant solar-powered drones, which this is going to become our robot story for the evening.
Nice. All right.
That circle about the globe at 65,000 feet.
Whoa.
Above the surface.
That's high.
That's a long way
It seems
up.
Pretty high.
Yeah.
I don't even really have a way to gauge that. I don't know. What is that in miles, Jay? You can usually just Rain Man it.
What was the number again?
65,000 feet. I'll continue while you're Rain Manning it.
All right.
Well, make sure you ask Caleb first.
Okay. Caleb as well, if you could get on that. Mm-hmm. Jay's twin brother, Caleb, who inhabits the same body as... Yes. Anyway. it has 50-meter/164-foot wings that are covered in solar panels.
Just
drenched in solar panels.
Solar energy panels.
It is the sexiest solar plane you have ever seen.
Solar.
Solar. It's funny, the promo pictures of this thing do have a fairly Mass Effect edge to them, since they have like the horizon of the Earth in the background, and it's all bathed in all the beautiful light of the sun and whatnot. So yeah, if you want more like effectively Mass Effect starship porn, you can go here.
I'm Commander Shepard. This is my favorite YouTube button.
Right. Well, anyway, that said...
Favorite drone on the Citadel.
The cool thing about it is that it would allow it to act as a wireless communication hub that could cover over 17,000 miles because of its height and its size. It has stuff about IEEE spectrum stuff that I don't know anything about, but... Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm with you on the whoa on that one.
IEEE spectrum number.
But that's when we're going to rock it over to Caleb and find out.
So 65,000, correct? 65,000?
Yes.
65,000 feet is 12.3106061 miles.
Okay. That's a fairly good distance.
Okay. When you say it in those terms...
It doesn't seem like so much, but when you're thinking about it being
straight up,
that ends up giving it.
That's where you're like 12's not that high,
like,
but then when you go up high, you're like, that's high.
Right, it's less perspective and more perspective at the same time. That's what I deliver.
Hey, it's what we do here on the show.
Right. That's my goal for every news article I speak about. Anyway.
Well, here's something I can deliver to you.
What?
And you out there in the listening audience, the Santa Clara City Library invites you to an evening of free business building programs.
Oh.
The program covers topics such as building and maintaining your business, utilizing library databases to help your business, and learning to connect with other businesses with the Chamber of Commerce. The social will be held on Wednesday, August 28th. So you only got like a couple days to get ready for it. From 5 to 8 p.m. in Central Park Library, Redwood Room on Homestead Road.
Okay. People in the know call it show show.
Nice.
For in case you're curious, the level that this plane flies at is what would be known as the stratosphere, which is...
That is stratospheric.
Oh,
that is absolutely stratospheric.
Baby, I'm going to take you to the stratosphere.
I don't know why we don't have you sing more often.
Thank God.
So there you
go. Is what the audience was saying out there.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just before they change the station. Don't change the station.
Do we want another news or?
Yes, lay it on us if you have it.
If you have it, otherwise I have something to wrap it on.
Well, when we move on to your wrap up, I actually don't have a whole lot of other stories.
Okay.
So we
can save that for next week because this week.
Yes.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. Just throw out a couple things. Okay. But. You know, a major announcement was made.
What?
Concerning a certain character who dresses in a bat costume.
What?
Who will be appearing in the next Superman film.
Oh.
As said, you know, Batman character.
Right.
Uh-huh.
The actor has been released who was picked.
And announced, if you will.
Yeah. You didn't hear about this? Wow, this was like all over Twitter. I'm surprised Twitter wasn't changed to Ben Affleck.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if people cared about their like elected officials as much as they cared about this topic.
Ben Affleck.
Wow, maybe our country would be a better place.
People have tried to convince him to become an elected official.
That's
now
true.
I'm thinking that might not have been such a bad idea.
It's true. So, yes, for those who don't know, Ben Affleck was announced as
the
Batman.
New Superman.
Yeah. Sorry, Henry Cavill.
Right. We're going another direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to actually have you play Batman, and Ben's going to play Superman, okay? So, yeah.
Right, yeah.
So
it'll
yes.
It'll be like face-off.
It's true.
Except with superheroes that shouldn't be facing off.
But yeah.
Yeah.
My brain hurts all of a sudden.
Well... Ignore all that.
Okay.
And focus on just the question. So, Ben Affleck has been announced as the new Batman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts? Again, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this because we have plenty of things to talk about in the show to mm-hmm. get to. But I felt, you know, it fits our show. So,
right.
we should throw out some things of what our thoughts are.
Okay. I feel like I am ill-equipped to think about this from one perspective.
Okay.
Is
you're a huge Matt Damon fan.
From two perspectives. We'll set that one aside for now.
Okay.
And we'll go back to my original thought.
mm-hmm.
You almost completely derailed me with that. That was very good. No, it's that he's become a genuine, like, big name as a star in the last little while. And mm-hmm. people are worshiping his performances in a lot of things. And I, for whatever reason, haven't seen any of them yet.
Oh.
So I feel bad because people have said that they're really good, mm-hmm. both from director's standpoint and an actor's standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I need to see those things before I get all judgmental on him. That said... There's a lot of, like, old stuff that makes me feel like he is not right for this. I mean, the obvious thing is kind of the failure with the Daredevil movie, and I don't know. He's never seemed heroic to me.
Not from Armageddon.
He's never seemed heroic to me.
All right. Caleb?
I think he has potential. The
you're just saying that because of his sultry good looks, aren't you?
Well, I cannot deny he is a handsome man. No, the Yeah, I feel like he's, you know, obviously he's it's been a few years since the sort of stumbling blocks in his career, which were, you know, Daredevil and Gigli and a few other films, which probably shouldn't be named.
Wait, Gigli was a stumbling block?
Stop
I didn't
that.
See that one either. So.
But, and you know, with time comes maturity, and with that comes a better, greater depth of understanding and dedication to this craft. And it sounds like he's really, you know, pushed himself to be a better actor. And so I think, you know, let's give him the benefit of the doubt, and, you know, maybe be calling for it back. But we shouldn't be like decrying everything about this before we even know what he's going to be like.
Yeah,
because it's for one thing we definitely know, this is not going to be a Nolan style Batman.
Right.
Those movies have been completed. They are sort of encapsulated, and if you want to see that Batman, go back and watch those movies.
Yeah.
This is going to be its own thing. It's a new thing. It's going to be more like the Superman.
It's style. Now.
Yeah.
It's New 52-ish.
Right.
Anyway, but, you know, so it's like it doesn't throw me so much because it's like, you know, it's going to be a whole new thing.
Yeah.
So I think it has pretty good potential, and I'd be curious to see how it turns out.
Yeah, I can understand on paper his potential, but I have never ended up having any fondness for him in anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
no.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So, yeah, I would say for those who haven't, definitely see Argo and The Town.
Uh-huh.
I think the fact that he has gotten to be a good director and a better actor, that it's sort of the same thing that you mentioned, Caleb. I mean, it's like, I think we just have to wait and see. I mean, I'm fine with it because he's gotten so much better.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm like, you know, I don't want to jump to any conclusions yet because, I mean, there's nothing to see yet. I mean, there's no trailer. There's no like footage. It's just,
there's not even a promo
his
picture.
Name. Yeah, it's just his name attached to it. It's like for a ton of people, when Heath Ledger was announced as the Joker, they were like, what? The guy from 10 Things I Hate About You or something? It's like, no. What I said before back then, nah, have faith. And that turned out pretty solid. I mean,
not
even
bad.
Christian Bale, like, I mean, when he was thrown out, it was like, I don't
honestly,
know,
I could see Christian Bale, like, almost immediately. Like, all of the promo stuff for, what was it? The, American Psycho.
Yeah.
It seemed like since that was heading in such a dark direction, I could see them veering off into a completely different Batman that he would fit really well with. And that ended up working out.
Yeah.
So
we just don't really know like the style and stuff yet. So it's, I think they're just, we have to wait and see. That should be the response instead of like the,
yeah, I think a lot of people are panicking, but for no good
reason.
Yeah,
let's go burn down Hollywood.
The other side of it that I can kind of understand the panic on is, okay, Batman has a long history with the lesser quality movies, in my view, of switching the actor. So if one doesn't really work out, they swap him out.
Yeah.
Well, he's signed up for a 3-movie deal.
Yeah.
So
right.
Even if people don't like him that much, they're going to be stuck with him for 3 movies, which is kind of scary.
Even stuff like that, though, like nothing's ever set in stone in Hollywood.
Yeah,
well, that's true. Yeah, if it ends up really, really bad,
yeah,
it might like, not. But the other side of it is like if you still get through that movie and you're like, yeah, you're going to have that yeah feeling for the next two movies, you know?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, yeah, I mean, they're going to have to do, unfortunately, for a lot of people, a lot to show, like, weight.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just going to have to wait and see what.
Our ilk are a very fickle people.
Yeah. And it's gotten to the point, I don't know if it's just because it's like, now that we're older, like, it's annoying now. Like it's almost it's that sort of kids. Like old man, like get off my lawn. It's like,
right.
Wow. You guys are so annoying.
Get off my Batman. Like, or what could possibly
really?
Be my Batman if it turns out well.
Yeah.
It's like, I love Batman too, but come on, there's way more important things to be like insane over it. Anyway, well, we have a lot to talk about. We're running, you know.
Well, let me just say this one last thing. There's
no.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Okay, damn. Anyway, a lot of people that are younger than us, the Nolan films are Batman, just period.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so that's a big deal for a lot of them. That's all I'm going to say.
This is true. But and that's why I kind of like sustain myself with, like, you know, it's not Nolan. He's not attached to this project at all. It's,
well, I mean, producer.
Okay. Apologies. Yeah. Producer, but like he's not active, he's not in the day to day of it. He's not on he's not sitting over Zach's shoulder.
I think he's gonna help. I mean, he had help with Man of Steel, but he's not taking that Batman from his universe and injecting it into this.
Yes.
He's just helping sort of guide, but it's like
he was really clear with that.
Yeah, we're not, you know, it's not the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not mixing. So yeah. That's just, everyone just calm down.
Yeah. Worry about more important things.
Mm-hmm.
Especially,
but I like freaking out.
Boy, how do they do? All right. That has been the news. We're going to take another music break and then come back with the return of Caleb's Corner.
Yes.
I want to tease the folks.
This is kind of about the rise and fall of the idea of user certified, user generated content. The idea of that of what's the word I'm looking for?
What, like YouTube?
Yeah, kind of like YouTube, okay. where it's you know, people get like bumped off of YouTube for borrowing like segments of a song, but they're
sampling.
They're, not sampling. I'll come up with a word before we come back.
When we come back with our answer, we're teasing them now. It's a good tease because they'll be like thinking, "What is it too?" Yes, I know the word they're thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to that music break. I'm going to play the band Astra, the song track "Hurt Me Now" from the album Olympia. And again, you're listening to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Radio time. Are you interested in free radio time? KSCU loves to broadcast announcements about local nonprofits and government agencies. Email traffic at kscu.org with information on services or upcoming events, and we will consider making an announcement for your organization.
All right. So, the Caleb's Corner this week is about the word that I was forgetting before, but it's fair use. Okay. And the fight for fair use has more or less...
The two words you were forgetting before.
Yeah, those are the phrase. The phrase I was looking for.
The phrase, there we go. The phrase that pays nothing because it's nonprofit.
So one of the leading proponents of this idea of fair use is Stanford law professor Lawrence Lessig.
Okay.
And...
I can see why.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, with DMCA and a lot of it has been abused and overused and overwrought and just completely been maligned, and the its usage against, you know, taking corporate interests and turning them against private users, and it's just kind of it's really unfortunate because it creates what a lot of people call what's known as a chilling effect, where it's like people become nervous about doing something that could be possibly misconstrued and might get them a legal notice of some sort.
Okay, like I feel around cops.
Kind of. It's okay. it's a similar idea where, like, you know, there's someone that has a figurative that has a legal hammer that they can use against you for whatever reason they might. You might think, oh, it's just a little thing I made. It's not going to, you know, impinge on this other artist
conglomerate
to ability to make money off of this thing. It's just, you know, but specifically in this case, Lawrence Lessig himself has been the focus of a copyright takedown, which is what,
okay.
Which is another term for when they, you know, they use the DMCA against someone, saying that you've used a copyrighted material in this other place where it doesn't, you didn't pay the royalty fees for whatever.
And the WWA for when they just want to take somebody down that way.
Oh, yeah. The WWE uses the takedown notice.
That's what it was. You can tell I'm a huge fan.
Honey's up on the ropes. Oh, what's a copyright takedown? No.
Very good.
Thank you.
I get points on that one.
I smelled the copyright takedown.
I did. Mm-hmm. It was cooking. I did too. I did. 5 points to Jay. Caleb J.
So what happened was in a speech that Mr. Lessig
Orphan Fong. There's like clones of never mind. Anyway.
That Mr. Lessig made, he used at a Creative Commons conference in South Korea. He used a segment of a song called Lizdomania by Phoenix. And with that he included several clips of like people, like amateur dancers, like, you know, with the song.
Okay.
And kind of like, you know, trying to showing how people are creatively using stuff, you know, in real life. And he, and his talk was uploaded to YouTube, like so many of them are these days. And he became the focus of a copyright takedown by a group called Liberation Music, who claims that they own the license to the song by Phoenix.
That is ironic, right? That a group called Liberation Music is
suing someone for
well,
using.
Well, they wanted to liberate the music from the person
people
who
trying
took it
to,
from it from
to
them
free it.
Yes. Yes. I see where you're going with that.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad somebody does.
And because Mr. Lessig is sort of one of the forward proponents of this idea of fair use for everyone,
so he did it on purpose.
And well, he used it on purpose because he used it in a fair use context. And there is legal precedent for like what fair use is, like what constitutes, like when you I can't remember off the top of my head, and it's not in this particular article, but there are things.
How you violate it.
Huh?
How you violate it.
How you ensure that you are a part of.
Depending on what your goal is.
I mean, there's things that you can adhere to that will put your creation into fair use realm as opposed to outright copyright infringement.
Okay.
So. And Lessig being one of the people that does that kind of pushes this idea in our culture, he's obviously fighting back. So it's kind of nice to see people that actually that really know what they're talking about. It's not just whoever this liberation music is. I think they picked the wrong target.
Okay.
I
assume he figured out something more clever than what people normally do is change their name on YouTube and repost it.
Yes, he is actually instituting a countersuit against the group with the help of the
EFF.
That's
what smart people do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because he's a legal mind, he has a far better grounding in how to fight against these things than say most of us in this room or on YouTube in general. It's like
I'd just go up in front of a judge and say nah. And I don't think that would go very far.
Yeah, as a legal argument, that's a little
iffy.
Yeah,
from the looks on your guys' faces, I'm thinking that was ill advised. For all of the other people who are looking for legal advice out there.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just find it really interesting that I think this case will be very interesting because we have one of the leading legal minds on fair use and one of the Electronics Frontier Foundation who is also like a big pusher of
He legally, literally write the book on this stuff, or no?
Pretty much. He's written several volumes about this idea of a more open culture with the idea.
I thought that would be a safe play right there.
With the things that we have already created ahead of us and all that stuff and how copyright has been sort of eschewed and morphed into almost a commercial entity now as opposed to a way to, you know, protect the create content creators long enough to create their next piece of content, which was what its original intent was, like the patent. It was meant to protect you long enough that you could create your next patentable idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, here it's, so there we are. This would be a cool case to watch because it's going to be legal minds versus legal minds like at a high, high level. It's not Joe Schmuck didn't realize what was going on. He thought he was clear, and now Viacom's come down on him. Right. I picked them just because they've been famous for doing that on YouTube.
Yeah,
they aren't doing it in this case. It's just that was a name.
Yeah.
So nice. There you are. Something to look forward to. Someone to root for your own rights as a media content consumer and producer.
Okay.
Nice.
Let's hope the Free Music group, they don't just like take excerpts from his books and make songs about them or something. Yeah.
True. Very true.
It's like, wait, no.
And we'll have that
yes.
link on our Facebook page and whatnot. So if you want to go and check it out and, you know, follow it to your heart's content and keep an eye on it and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think that was an excellent Caleb's Corner.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you out there in Radio Land thought it was as well.
Right. Because it occupies the eyes and the heart.
It's true.
If you go to the website.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
My
mm-hmm.
heart has been occupied.
Yep.
All right. Let's take another.
You are the 1% of your heart. The 98% of your heart.
Captain Planet, heart. The heart power. All right, we're going to take another very quick music break.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then come back with our main topic for tonight, the August films that we've watched and absorbed, and we're going to talk about them. Some of them we liked, some of them we didn't.
Indeed.
You'll hear
indeed.
All that when we get back. I'm going to play the band The Trims, and the song is called Life, and the album is Delete You After. All right.
There you are, then.
You're listening to Robots Attack, one and only geek-centric talk show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
You are now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, one and only geek-centric talk show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
Yes.
Before we get to our main topic, I'm going to tell you again about the San Jose Animal Advocates. If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates, that's all one word, .org, or look for us on Facebook. All right. As I mentioned earlier, we're talking about the movies of August. Some we liked, some we didn't. I'm going to start us off with a film.
A film?
A film.
Oh, okay.
Only one?
That I felt I was lied to about.
Okay.
I felt I was deceived about.
Oh my.
And I felt that if I could save someone 2 hours of their life... I will shed a tear of joy. I'm talking about a horror film called You're Next.
Mm-hmm.
For myself, I wouldn't call it a steaming pile of garbage because it did have...
You would call it a steaming pile of poop.
No. not quite, because I will say the main actress was good in it.
She was quite good.
But the rest of the film... is garbage. And if you could save yourself not spending any money on it and the 2 hours, avoid it at all costs. I'm almost tempted to spoil it just so I can save you. Because trust me, people, it's garbage.
Yeah. Mm. I think people overblew what the sort of tricky
so here's
were.
The synopsis, just in case you're like, so yeah. What is this movie? All right, so imagine, you know, it's a horror movie, a home invasion horror movie.
Right.
We've got some psychos that attack.
In masks.
In the masks.
Which are animal masks this which time, are animal which is masks new for the genre, I think. No.
Maybe.
I kind of swore there was one that had those. But anyway,
okay.
Maybe that is new. maybe there's the new
thing. Because the last one was paper bags.
That's true.
Really? No, I don't really watch one of those movies.
Was the one with the smoked salmon attached to his head.
I can't remember. Did the ones in that Ethan Hawke movie, were they wearing animal masks? I can't remember.
Okay.
Anyway, I heard that movie was garbage also. but anyway, this one, so these psychos are attacking this family up in the woods out somewhere.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, out in the boondocks.
Yeah. And
with no docks involved. Like you said, mostly woods.
And they attack them. And here's the quote-unquote, like, oh, totally changes the genre of home invasion films. The main character chick isn't she actually holds her own and does stuff, I guess, instead of cowering. But to me, this isn't anything new. If you've watched just about anything Joss Whedon's done or seen like any of the recent horror movies, I mean, I don't get when people mention like, oh yeah, it's a totally new take on it. Like it's a horror comedy and like there's a twist on this and this.
Wait,
like,
there was comedy?
What exactly? See, I these things that were told to me, they're utter lies, people. Utter lies. It's garbage. It is.
There's not a lot of plot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
there really isn't.
There's a lot of killing.
There's a lot of killing. So if you just like watching people just be slaughtered, this movie's for you, because that's really all that's in it.
And there are a lot of people who like that.
It's true. So if you like that, I'm so tempted to spoil it just so people like don't waste their time on it. But but I feel bad then for the main actress, because
she deserves her shot.
She deserves a shot. If Joss Whedon doesn't pick her up for something, or like goes, hey, you should check out this chick who, unfortunately, I don't remember her name. I apologize.
Right.
She's Australian, though.
Right. Yeah.
So there's that
awesome Australian accent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. Hopefully she finds work after that. So there you go. Obviously, Caleb can't really say anything because he didn't see it.
No, I didn't.
Anything else you'd like to add on to my description of your
name? Sharni Vinson, okay. I believe, is the name you're looking for.
What was it?
Sharni Vinson.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. Do you remember her name in the movie?
Erin was her name, and is the name that she's credited to.
Is that what it was?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I mean, if there's nothing else, we don't have a lot of time, so we have plenty of...
I'll just say this really quick. Yeah, that looks like her. I didn't think it was quite that bad. I didn't... It wasn't a masterpiece by any means. It needed more plots. It definitely needed that.
It needed a point to it.
Right. But I will say this. It was kind of nice having it be a half and half sort of thing, where the good guys and bad guys actually took their toll on each other instead of it being a completely one-sided slash fest.
Yeah.
I think that I enjoyed quite a bit. I think that was a more fresh take of the entire thing instead of,
True.
But other than that, I didn't think it stood out a whole bunch, other than there were some really attractive girls in it. So
yeah.
If you're into that,
that's true. If you're into that, they did.
It might be worthwhile
hire
seeing
some attractive ladies for the roles.
Spoilers: most of them get killed.
What?
In a horror film where I just told that practically everybody gets killed, a fair amount of them get killed.
My head explode.
Right.
Spoilers! Oh my goodness!
I know.
Yeah. Spoilers, everyone dies but the main chick. Okay, let's move on to the next.
The question
movie.
Becomes how.
See, there you go. All right, let's cleanse the palate with something.
Yes, that we did like?
Let's find out. The next one, The World's End.
I missed that one too. I haven't seen that one yet. At World's End.
Okay, I liked it a lot. I'll just throw it right out there. It was exactly what I was looking for from those creators, those actors. I love them for creating movies like this. And it is, again, not what I'd call like a complete and total work of art. It's nowhere near highbrow, but it's trying so hard not to be highbrow.
Yeah.
It makes it good just for how well they did that. Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, see this movie just because it is Simon Pegg like you've never seen before.
Very true.
Anything.
He plays a character you're not used to seeing him as.
At least to my knowledge, there might be more stuff in Britannia that I don't know about.
Yeah.
But in general.
Yeah, most of the roles he plays, it's a fairly likable character.
Right.
This one, not so much.
I could tell he was sort of going for crashing that down with Hot Fuzz also by being a really stoic, like, by-the-book character.
Yeah.
But it still ended up being, like, a slightly more stoic by-the-book Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg, yeah.
But this one will blow you away.
Yeah.
I almost guarantee it. And somebody else is probably going to do a radio program. You lied!
Yeah. Oh, they told this. Yeah, it's... I told Jason... after it was over with, it was like, this is like an adolescent episode of Doctor Who.
Okay.
It's very British. If you liked Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, that style, it's like, I don't see why you wouldn't like this one either. I mean, if you're not a huge fan of Simon Pegg movies or kind of British humor,
right,
this really isn't your cup of tea.
that's pretty good. Tea. I like that.
But yeah, if you like beer, boy, after watching this, you're going to want to have some beer.
If you don't want beer after it.
I would not recommend this movie for alcoholics.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. But you know what's even, like, what would be even awesomer is if you liked Simon Pegg and these movies, but you didn't really know anything about this one.
Okay.
Don't watch, like, anything. Like, totally go in, because I would love to see the reaction on someone's face when the movie does its, like, 180 kind of. Like, I mean, we knew about it. I think most people know about it.
We'll try and convince people to make it a secret twist.
Yeah. But, yeah, if you didn't know anything about it, you'd be like, what the heck?
Yeah. And it works well because the characters are totally in that situation.
Yeah. So you're next. Don't bother. The World's End. If you like the things, like the caveats that we've thrown out, it's fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's a fun film. Okay, so moving on from The World's End, let's go to
Smurfs 2.
Well, not it does have a 2 in it. Kick-Ass 2.
Okay,
all right.
Care to lead?
Okay, not as good as the first one, but if you liked the first one, do you liked its silly style, its sense of humor?
Right.
You should enjoy this one as well. It's it has a similar sense of humor. I mean,
and it pokes fun at a lot of the big things from the first one too.
Yeah.
Like, it starts off right off the bat with one of the iconic scenes, except kind of swapped around a little bit.
So
that was pretty good.
Yeah. And this one sort of, like, where the first one was almost like, individual superheroes, this one sort of like is talking about like superhero groups,
right?
Like,
and finally a supervillain also.
Yeah. So
whose name we cannot say on air.
Yeah. There's a lot of things we can't say on the air about that movie.
Right.
It's not for the kiddies, but but I enjoyed it. I mean, it's not Shakespeare. It's not Oscar. This.
Do we have any movies that we saw that were Shakespeare?
Probably not.
Yeah. That's not typical movie summer movie fare.
That is true.
Yeah, I mean, and it has, I mean, I'll leave you to mention this, but yeah, there are parts in it where it does kind of veer in some strange directions, but
yeah,
it's
yeah,
overall I had a good time, but yeah, go ahead, throw.
I'll disagree on one thing. I liked it a little bit better than the first one. They had a more, I don't know, like they summed up and finished off the movie in a more satisfying way to me in this one.
Oh, okay.
The last one, the ending was so comic booky, so to speak, that it ended up completely taking me out of it.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sure if you're a fan of the comics themselves and whatnot, you probably couldn't imagine it any other way, and you're probably like yelling obscenities at me right now. And that's fair enough. But I didn't do that, so. But anyway, this one still had that problem in spots, though. It had like really over the top comic booky stuff here and there that took me completely out of it, because I'm going to sound really weird here, but I suspect I'm not the only one of us who can say this. I really liked the Mean Girls movie.
Oh, yeah.
And so when they ended up kind of going into
having a Mean Girl sort of moment.
Right. When they got into that sort of stuff, I was expecting a little bit more clever stuff that came out of it. And it ended up becoming comic booky stuff. Not that it didn't fit with the character that did the comic booky stuff, but still, it ended up being a little bit, yeah, too much. So
yeah. And then the quick side note, since there was the sort of Jim Carrey like distancing himself from the movie, it's really weird because, not to really spoil a whole bunch, but he's not really in it terribly much.
Right.
So it's just really weird. And
right, and he had
the character,
his reservations were about gun violence.
Yeah.
And
the character he plays, like, yeah, it was just really weird.
Right.
It was just
when
weird
you,
that.
Yeah, you'd think at first glance that he would be a gun violence character, but
it's not at all. it's almost,
and there's
like
not even that much gun violence in the entire movie.
Yeah, yeah, the first one has way more gun stuff. Yeah, it's almost
way
like if
more.
He was playing the big daddy, you know, part,
right?
But he's not playing that part, so
yeah
I don't get it. But so I think I recommend it. If you like the first Kick-Ass,
right,
you see it. So
yeah,
okay. Now let's move on to one that Caleb can actually participate in.
Woohoo!
The very last one. Unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of time, but
that's okay.
We're going to get to it, and we're going to get to Caleb. Mm-hmm. We're going to have him talk about this last one. Of course, is Elysium.
Elysium. I liked it quite a bit. It is flawed in some ways, but I forgive a lot of those flaws because visually the movie is so distinctly intact. Like
you were so shallow.
You're all about the visuals, man.
I mean, not to disregard the story and some of its flaws, but the visuals are just kind of like, it had me like sucked in from the beginning of the film. I'm like, okay, I'm kind of sold on this world.
Right.
The plot is solid, but it's not like mind blowing. And the story is well executed, although it's relatively straightforward. In my mind.
Okay.
There wasn't too much that I didn't kind of see coming in certain ways.
Yeah.
And which is mildly unfortunate, because that's one of the things I really liked about District 9, is that you're just kind of like, where is this going? And then it starts going, you think, oh, it's going this direction. Then nope, it's going that direction. Probably had not inspected that one.
Yeah. The movie really threw me off for that same reason, because mm-hmm. District 9 was pretty much a really deep character piece in about an alien's life and a human's life who completely changes when he's kind of forced into seeing things from the alien's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really like District 9 a lot.
Yeah.
Excellent movie.
So with this one, it was really weird because like you said, all the artistry was there and it was really good on mm-hmm. that side, but there wasn't any connection to those characters at all. Like, not a single one of them had any depth besides just like, oh, I happen to be in this situation, save me. And so it just kind of devalues the entire movie because because they concentrate so much on the plot. And you can tell the plot was he wanted to make a movie that was a call to action for the developed world to help the rest of the world, which is a decent goal and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it just ends up becoming a science fiction fairy tale. Because in the end, all of the stuff that was like the call to action for everybody, it was stuff that didn't make sense that people wouldn't have done in the first place. There was no reason whatsoever that the world hadn't been completely transformed in the end. And it was before
the events of the film.
Right. And it was just so weird. It's like, okay, so I realize he's probably trying to say that the only reason why the world isn't better is just because everybody's so greedy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It just didn't make sense to me at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, also that, and you have more compassion than most people, than a lot of people, but not.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I totally didn't pay him to say that.
Yeah. I would echo the visuals are awesome. Just mm-hmm. like, you know, District 9.
You have
like,
not seen Earth until you've seen this movie.
Yeah, he's definitely has an awesome eye for a sci-fi world, a very cool take on it.
That still feels realistic.
Yeah, it's very much like sort of Lucas's Star Wars, where it's like there's it's not a shiny Star Trek. It's
right.
It's a really lived in. Built, cobbled together, like you, it feels real.
Yeah, him growing up in Johannesburg definitely comes through in all of his mm-hmm. movies.
But other than that, I was hugely disappointed on everything else. I think the plot is borderline just like there's nothing there. I totally agree with that. None of the characters are interesting. I mean, mm-hmm. they try to do these things of them as little kids and then growing up, and it's like none of this stuff about the rich people and this, like, there's not enough time spent on anything. It's just super rushed just to get to like really awesome action sequences. But
yeah,
they're just like, I was just watching this, like, what? I get sort of what you're trying to say, but there's no story here. Like, make an interesting story instead of just like, poor people have it really bad, rich people have it really good. Why? Like, make an interesting story about trying to make that a better thing instead of just like beating you on the head with stuff that everybody already knows.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. that's what just bummed me, because I was really looking forward to this, because like you mentioned District 9, I was like, that was so cool.
Right.
Like, all right, I want to see this guy's next project. But I think I mentioned, I was like, that guy should be like Lucas, come up with awesome ideas and hand them off to people.
Uh-huh.
Or let someone else write it. He can direct it, get the same DP,
mm-hmm.
but have somebody else write it. Maybe he can come up with a story, hand it off. Be like Lucas, uh-huh. hand it off to somebody else. Because I think would be awesome. Because
uh-huh.
he definitely has an eye and he has like cool ideas, but I could not get into the story.
It leaves me, it's weird, like the disappointment of this movie leaves me really hungry for his next movie.
Yeah.
It's like, I really want like a redemption on the next
one. Yeah. And it was weird seeing sort of shades of the newer, like the Total Recall movie. Like, mm-hmm. wait, I saw some of this in the Total Recall movie. That was really cool. Like, what's going on here?
Right. Yeah.
Like, but yeah.
I feel like I agree with you. The its weakest point was character, like because if you had better character, some of the plot would sort of write itself, and then there wasn't enough character, enough like investment in the characters for that to be an issue.
It feels very rushed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like the producers are probably like yelling at people like us, say, what do you mean it doesn't have character? Yeah, it's Matt Damon in it.
Yeah.
It's like, that's like the Band-Aid for the entire movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I read somebody did a review of it that it mirrored my own feelings on it a lot, too. It was like, well, it has Matt Damon fresh off of a massive PDX 90 routine. So why wouldn't people like it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe as like a miniseries or something like that and have a little more time to develop some stuff. But it's just like a movie.
Sci-fi, pick it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
And yeah, the bad guy, Krueger, he's really cool. Until he opens his mouth, I'm sorry. Just that accent is really hard to take seriously as a badass. Like,
yeah, I had the same problem way back with Blood Diamond because it's the same accent. But for some reason here, it didn't bug me so much. I think it's finally starting to make its way into my brain, kind of make sense. And yeah, he's a mean character.
Oh yeah,
so
yeah.
The problem with him is that he's nothing but a mean character. There's no depth whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's like, I just like killing people. That's his entire character bio.
Yeah. So I think we can take away from it, we just wish there was more story and plot and character.
Yeah, hopefully the next one will be better constructed overall instead of just being really pretty.
Yeah. The next one, for people who don't know, is going to be a little robot police thing that is voiced by the same guy who's Krueger in this one.
Okay, yeah. He's the guy, go-to guy. He's in like all of his movies.
He
and
loves
stuff,
him.
So.
They're probably related cool or something.
Yeah, yeah. Seems good enough actor, so.
But yeah, it's this little police robot that's been abducted by gangsters and forced to help them out. It sounds like an interesting idea.
Yeah,
it does.
I look forward to it. All right, well, hopefully you enjoyed our discussion on those movies, and definitely let us know what you thought. If you saw any of those or some other movies in August, let us know. And Caleb, how can they do that?
Well, if you would like to interact with us more, you can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, two words. Or you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is Robots Attack Me. And we are also on ye olde email at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you're furiously trying to write that all down, just write down
robotsattack.me.
That has links to everything that I just described under the button that says interact. And it's also available
large format.
Extra large format. All of our archived episodes are there. Show notes, all that good stuff. In case you missed it on our social network pages, you can find it there. Hello.
We'll be back probably not next Monday because next Monday is Labor Day. Stay tuned with us. We'll see. Maybe the hours will be open, but
they
probably
like shutting
not.
Things down around here.
We probably won't be back next week, but it's the week after. We'll see.
If everybody out there can cross their fingers and hope.
Yeah. Maybe we can do a around the water cooler or something. Something to tide you over.
There you go.
But anyway, thanks again for listening. We're here usually every Monday from 6 to 8 here on KSU Santa Clara. And have a great week. And a great Labor Day weekend.
Indeed.
Yeah. Go see some movies.
Yeah. Good time before a lot of people jump back into school or if you haven't jumped in already. Take us with you.
Yeah.
All right. Take it easy, everybody.
Raccoon. Veronica. Nicto.